Good morning, everyone. I'm Shane. I'm the pastor of this church. Welcome to Elim Christian Center. You know, today we start a new sermon series called I Am. This series is about the I Am statements Jesus made in the Gospels. Jesus said things like, I am the bread of life, I am the vine, and I am the good shepherd. These are very important words. They helped us to understand who Jesus really is and what it means to follow him. So today, before we look at all these pictures of who Jesus is, we need to start here. I am the truth. I am the truth. I came to New Zealand 24 years ago to study at university. You know, for every Chinese student, the biggest barrier is English. That's the biggest barrier we have to overcome. I actually started learning English in the primary school, but English in the primary school is very easy. Right? This is the apple. Banana is yellow. I have a bicycle. You know, that's very easy. I never felt English was hard until I got to the intermediate school. That was when grammar, tenses, and exceptions started hitting my little brain. And I was so struggling, and I was never good at English in the school. So one day, during an English test, I copied my classmate, and I got a really good mark. When I look at the mark, I felt so proud of my classmate. I think, man, you well done, you're amazing. But my teacher knew it was not real. My English teacher knew my real level of that language. So he called me after the school, holding my test paper in his hand. But he was not harsh at all. He was very calm, but also very clear. He said, you don't need to do this, Shane. What's the point? If it's not true, then what's the point of have this? I was so embarrassed. And he was absolutely right. The result looked very good, but it was not real. In the end, if it's not true, the good result means nothing. Results matters in life, right? We all care for outcomes, and we all want to look good on the outside. But if the way we get there is not true, something feels missing. You know, when Yvonne and I got married, I was 36 years old. Construction worker. So in our wedding photos, the photographer photoshopped my face. I was like, hey, why me, okay? You gotta, why do you think I need to photoshop my face? Honestly, I looked much younger in the photo. But I didn't feel like that was the man you want married. Something felt missing there. Because deep down, we all want something real, something true. And I believe that's because we are all created in the image of God. Even if someone is not a believer, as human beings, there is still a conscience within us. There is something in us that recognizes truth and feels uneasy when things are not real. And that's why a life that only looks good from outside is not enough. But in today's social media world, everything looks good from the outside. We can present the perfect image even when life inside is so different. So the question for us today is simple. What are we building our lives on? Is it only what looks good on the outside? Or is it something real and true? And today, we are going to find the answer in Jesus. In the passage we are looking at today, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. This happens before the crucifixion. Jesus knows he's going away and he wants his disciples to hold on to the truth even in the darkness. Now let's turn to the Gospel of John 14, verse 5 to 7. One of Jesus' disciples, Thomas, said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Just one, that statement alone is enough to get Jesus killed by the Jews. "See you" means we see God. You and God are one. When Jesus said, "I am the truth," he was not just saying that he tells the truth or teaches true things. He was saying something much bigger. Jesus was saying that he is truth itself. This is very different from how people think about truth today. In our modern days, people often talk about your truth and my truth, as if truth is just a personal opinion. But Jesus teaches something completely different. He says the truth is not something we create. It is revealed by God through Jesus, through what he says, what he does, and who he is. In other words, Jesus is not simply giving us his interpretation of reality. Jesus is giving us, revealing reality as it truly is. Then Jesus said, "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." That means if you want to know what God really is, look at me. So Jesus shows us exactly what God is like. Before Jesus came, people only saw small glimpses of God through the scriptures, the prophets, and religious traditions. But in Jesus, we finally see God clearly. God is no longer distant or hidden. God is not a mystery that only a select group of people can understand. Through Jesus, God revealed himself to us through a person we can see, we can hear, and we can follow. And this is what's so beautiful about Christianity. And it separates Christianity from all the religions in the world. In Christianity, truth became a person who came to us. In the Gospel of John 1, verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The truth of God, the wisdom of God, the presence of God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Usually we think of truth as information. We think truth is something written in the books, taught in the schools, and explained by scholars or philosophers. And when truth is only information, it can feel distant. Early this year, I started reading a book called Legacy. It's a book about how Christians can make real difference in the marketplace and how can we can be God's witness in the real world. Man, this book is such a powerful book. I admire the author so much. And actually, the author is a Christian in New Zealand. I remember thinking, one day I would love to meet this guy. Then I found out, actually, he goes to Elam Botany Campus. And his office is right across Cook Street in City Works Depot. Wow, that's great. But here's the problem. You cannot meet the author properly before you finish reading his book, right? But reading an English book is never fast enough. Now, I sincerely apologize to my English teacher for cheating in his class. He showed me grace back then. Now I'm paying for it. So finally, I finished reading his book. And last week, I was sitting in his office having coffee with him. You see, knowing about an author through his book is good. But it's even better to know the person himself. In the same way, through Jesus, we not only know God through the scriptures, through the Bible, through the writings, but we can also know him through a personal relationship. And that's why Jesus came. Truth became someone we can know personally. Not just information we learn. Through Jesus, God becomes close, faith becomes relational, and truth is no longer distant or complicated. You don't need to know secret knowledge. You don't need to special status to access to God. All you need is have faith in Jesus. And through Jesus, you can know God completely. So if truth became a person, then what happens when people truly encounter Jesus, encounter the truth? Here are two promises for those who believe in Jesus. Number one, truth sets you free. Truth sets you free. John 8:31-32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You know, in Jesus' time, the Jewish people believed that the only way to be right with God, completely depending on perfectly following religious laws and traditions. So back then, religion had become very heavy and exhausting, and even very expensive for ordinary people. So when Jesus said that the truth will set you free, he was speaking directly into that burden. Through Jesus, people could set free from both the external pressure of religion and the internal struggle with sin. And even today, we are still carrying all kinds of invisible burdens. Some are anxious about the future. Some worry about money, jobs, and housing. Some struggle with addictions, regrets, or the weight of the past. Before I knew Jesus, I carried a lot of regrets in life. I always wished I had made different choices in life. I wish I could go back to fix something in the past. So when I first came here, I was 35 years old. Non-Christian, obviously, single man. I feel I would totally hit the rock bottom, you know, both in my personal life and my career. So I was wondering, is there a second chance for a man like me? But then I heard the pastor preach from 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. In that moment, that passage hit me like a thunderbolt. And I never experienced such freedom before. The old has gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I don't need to go back and fix everything in the past to start a new life. I can begin a new life right here now in Jesus. So I want to say to some of you here today, my friends, the same truth applies to you in Christ. The old has gone. The new has come. You are a brand new creation. You are a new created humanity in Jesus Christ. You don't need to get stuck in the past. You don't need to carry those burdens alone. Jesus is offering you a new life right now. The old has gone. The new has come. All you need is to know Jesus. When you know the truth will set you free. And the next promise from Jesus is this: truth brings clarity. Truth always brings clarity. Truth never creates confusion to you. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, okay, Jesus was having conversation with people who thought they got everything right? Who thought they knew everything, but actually they were resisting the truth. So John 8:44, Jesus said this to them. Jesus said, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He's a liar and the father of lies." Jesus describes the devil as the father of lies. Well, we first see this clearly in the Garden of Eden. The devil came to Adam and Eve and began to twist what God had said. He planted doubt and confusion in human hearts. So back then, in that moment, humanity had to choose between God's truth and devil's lie. Tragically, they chose the lie. And that same pattern has never stopped. That same lie is still at work today. You know, when you apply for a membership at the gym or the club or any organizations, you need to fill out application form, right? Recently, I was filling out a form. And on the form, he asked me about my gender. It's very normal, male or female. Very common, very normal question. But the next question is very confusing. He asked me how I identify as a man or a woman. I was thinking, wait, didn't I just answer that question by choosing male? But you know what? Today, being male doesn't always mean you identify as a man. Being female doesn't always mean you identify as a woman. You know what? I don't think my old English teacher can pass English test today. This world is full of confusion and lies. And because of that, many people feel broken and even lost. And Jesus steps into that confusion and says, "I am the truth." You know, as a pastor of a church, I'm responsible to speak the truth. And I'm responsible to make you understand clearly what I believe and what I stand for. So if anyone over here, if you are someone who is struggling with the questions of gender identity, my friends, I will never judge you from a higher place, because I'm not any better than you. We are all the same in God's eyes. In God's eyes, we all need grace. We all need Jesus. We all need to know the truth. So you are safe here. So in this church, we show grace to each other as God has shown his grace to each one of us. But we never compromise the truth if we want to stay in God's grace. Listen, my friends, if we don't want to face the truth, like my English teacher said, then what's the point? If it's not true, then what's the point of all this? What's the point of coming to the church if truth is not spoken? Yes, Jesus sat with the sinners at the same table. But they were the ones turn around and repent, not Jesus. Jesus never left people where they were. He always brought them into truth, because only truth will set you free. Only truth brings healing, and only truth brings clarity, not confusion. So I want to make it very clear again. I want to show grace to everyone just as God shows His grace to me. But to stay in God's grace together, we must never compromise the truth. Worship team, please come up. My friends, truth became a person. Jesus doesn't just offer better information. He invites us into a new life. He calls us out of confusion, out of lies, and into truth, freedom, and life with Him. So today, if you have never followed Jesus, or maybe you once followed Him, but now you feel you are far from Him, don't just walk away with some information, but come back, turn to Him, respond to Him, and begin a new life with Him. Because the truth is a person who walks with you, guides you, and loves you. Truth will set you free, and truth brings clarity into your life. I want to encourage you to take a step of faith, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. I'm going to lead you into a prayer. All you need to do is to pray by following me. Now, church, let's bow our heads and take a moment to prepare ourselves. The Bible says we all have sinned. We all have messed up at some point in life, and none of us meet the perfect standard of God. We can't help ourselves, and our sin separated us from God. But God never left humanity in a broken place. That's why Jesus came. That's why the truth became a person who dwelt among us. Jesus came and lived a perfect life for us, and then He died on the cross. As He died, He paid all the penalty for our sin. Then He made a way for us to come back to God, all the way to eternal life. My friends, if today you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you receive forgiveness for your past, new life for you now, hope for your future, and eternal life with God in heaven. Now I'm going to lead you into a prayer. If you are ready, please pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving me. I know I'm a sinner, and I know you died for me on the cross. Today, I open my heart to receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I choose from today to turn away from my old life and turn to you. Please reveal yourself to me. Reveal your plans for me. And transform me into the person you designed. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.